Bicatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Bicatra AI. Welcome, and thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Today, we're really zeroing in on, well, one of the most transformative ideas, I think, in modern behavioral psychology. It's the profound power of our fundamental beliefs, and we're drawing from Carol S. Dweck's landmark book, Mindset, The New Psychology of Success.
Yeah, this is such a powerful topic. And it's powerful because it answers a question that, honestly, we all kind of struggle with. Why is it that some people seem to just flourish when they face challenges? You know, they learn, they grow, while others, who might seem just as talented, they just sort of shut down or crumble. And Dweck's research really shows that the answer isn't just about talent or intellect. It's deeper. It's in the underlying belief system we use when we approach our goals.
That really is the crux of it, isn't it? So the big takeaway Dweck offers us is that our simple beliefs, just what we think about our own abilities, are actually the engine driving success and fulfillment too. So today we're going straight to the source. Mm-hmm. We want to move past this myth of fixed, you know, innate talent and really understand the power of shifting from what she calls a fixed mindset to a growth mindset.
And Carol S. Dweck, the author, PhD, she's really the researcher who created this whole idea. She's the Lewis and Virginia Eden Professor of Psychology at Stanford University, so her authority here is, well, it's unmatched.
Yeah, and that's key. This isn't just like good advice or self-help anecdotes. It's actually based on decades of hard data, meticulous scientific research. She studied children, adults, people in all walks of life, and her unique perspective really came from translating this complex psychological research. It started, I think, with her fascination with understanding how people cope with failure, and she turned that into a simple, universally applicable framework.
Exactly. Her work basically acts as a kind of manual. It shows us these powerful psychological mechanisms that distinguish people who are resilient, who are learning oriented, from those who get easily discouraged or, you know, held back by limits they actually put on themselves.
Okay, so let's break down the basic premise of the book then. Dweck argues we operate primarily from one of two sort of poles, the fixed mindset or the growth mindset.
Right. So in the fixed mindset, you believe your core qualities, think intelligence, personality, talent, or static. They're unchangeable traits. It's like you were dealt a hand of cards, and that's it. And if you adopt this view, your whole world kind of revolves around proving that your hand is a good one. You end up prioritizing validation. And you avoid any situation, really, that might expose what you see as a weakness.
And that just sounds exhausting. If you believe your talent is fixed, then any struggle, any setback, it feels like a direct hit on your fundamental self. But the growth mindset, it completely flips the script, as you said. It views basic abilities not as these static facts, but more like starting points, things that can be developed, cultivated, you know, through dedication, through sustained effort and learning from experience.
Mm-hmm. It's the difference between believing I am smart and I have to prove it versus I will become smart by working hard and challenging myself.
Mm.
The growth mindset, it creates resilience. It fosters this profound love of learning, which Dweck shows is just essential for any great accomplishment.
Okay, let's dive into that core difference a bit more. How do these two mindsets actually act differently when, you know, faced with a challenge? Dweck illustrates this so well with her famous puzzle study. You remember this one? Children were given puzzles, and after they succeeded, some were praised for intelligence. Wow, you must be smart. And others were praised for their effort. Wow, you worked really hard on that.
Yes. And what they found was just. It was truly astonishing. The majority of the kids praised for being smart. They later chose easier puzzles. They were afraid a difficult one would contradict this smart identity they'd just been given. They prioritized looking good over actual learning.
Right. And conversely, the kids praised for effort. They overwhelmingly chose the more challenging puzzle. They were eager for the opportunity to learn something new. So the fixed mindset sees effort as a negative thing. If you have to try hard, it must mean you're not a natural.
That does seem so counterintuitive, doesn't it? I mean, does Dweck offer any explanation for why we sort of culturally are so quick to idolize the natural, you know, the person who doesn't seem to need to try, even though we know intellectually that effort is key?
Yeah, she argues it comes down to a fundamental misinterpretation of what ability even is. The fixed mindset sees the need for effort as a sign of low ability. They think, well, if I were truly gifted, I wouldn't struggle like this. And that belief, that thought right there, holds people back way more than any actual lack of talent.
And this leads us straight into what she calls the myth of the natural. which chapters 2 and 3 just systematically dismantle. The book demonstrates that success isn't about proving some innate, like, predetermined ability. It's about continuous stretching and developing. She uses examples like Mozart, Darwin, even Einstein, to show that their genius wasn't just some bolt of lightning striking them at birth. It was actually the product of immense, sustained, and really passionate effort over time.
So the growth mindset fundamentally redefines failure then. It's not this terminal condition. It's not a judgment on your worth. It's just valuable information. It's an opportunity to maybe refine your strategy, learn what to do differently next time. Effort, in this view, becomes the essential ingredient. It's what activates ability and turns potential into real accomplishment.
And this is where we see these ideas play out so dramatically. Like in the world of sports, think about Michael Jordan. He's one of Dweck's prime examples of a growth mindset champion.
Oh, absolutely. He was famously cut from his high school varsity team. I mean, can you imagine? But he saw that setback not as a verdict, like, oh, I'm no good, but as necessary motivation. His whole career was defined by relentless practice, an obsession with fixing his weaknesses. That's pure growth mindset.
Yeah, but now contrast that with a fixed mindset example, maybe like the tennis player John McEnroe. He certainly had tremendous natural talent, nobody denies that. However, he was kind of notorious for relying heavily on that innate skill. And when he failed, he often blamed external factors, you know, the umpires, the line judges, rather than engaging in that difficult, maybe humbling process of self-reflection and actual improvement.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it, how many potentially great talents we might have lost simply because they interpreted their first major setback as some kind of fixed verdict instead of a challenge to overcome.
And this framework scales up perfectly into the corporate world, too. In business, Dweck shows that the leader's mindset, it shapes the entire organizational culture. Fixed mindset leaders, the ones she calls the glorious geniuses, they tend to believe they're inherently superior, and they often create these cultures of fear, where employees are just terrified to admit mistakes or, God forbid, offer critical feedback.
Yeah, a classic cautionary tale Dweck uses is the collapse of Enron. The corporate culture there was absolutely obsessed with individual glorious genius. Employees were reportedly so afraid to expose flaws or problems that the company's issues just festered, hidden, until that eventual catastrophic implosion.
And in contrast, you have growth mindset leaders. Think Lou Gerstner, who famously turned IBM around. They focused on developing people, on learning from every single challenge, and fostering an environment where confronting the brutal facts, as Jim Collins would say, was actually encouraged. They built resilience into the DNA of the team, not just relying on the individual at the top.
It's fascinating how pervasive it is. And the framework even extends into, well, the most personal area of our lives, our relationships.
Yeah, a fixed mindset treats relationships as static things. Like, if it's meant to be, it shouldn't require work.
Right.
So conflict or disappointment often leads to concluding there's terminal incompatibility or maybe some fundamental flaw in the partner.
Which sounds pretty bleak.
It does. But the growth mindset, on the other hand, views a relationship more like a journey of mutual development. Conflict isn't seen as this threat that invalidates the whole union, but more like a problem to solve together. It holds the belief that both partners can learn, they can change, and that the relationship itself can be cultivated through, you know, concerted effort and communication, which is incredibly liberating, actually.
Okay, but here's the million-dollar question. How do we actually change? If someone recognizes they're stuck in a fixed mindset, what do they do?
Dweck dedicates a good chunk of the book to this, right? The Guide for Transformation. She gives us a practical four-step process. What's step one? Step one is all about awareness. You have to hear your fixed mindset voice. That's that internal critic, the one that judges you, tells you to avoid challenges, or says things like, you're going to look stupid if you try this. You just have to become aware of his presence first.
Okay, hear the voice.
Yeah.
And that awareness then leads to step two.
Exactly. Step two is recognize you have a choice. You can choose how you interpret setbacks, critiques, challenges. It's not automatic.
You don't have to believe that voice.
Right. Which leads to step three, which is arguably the most powerful. Talk back to it. When that fixed mindset voice pipes up and says, you're failing at this, you actively talk back with a growth mindset voice. And using the word yet is really key here. Like, I haven't mastered this yet.
Ah, the power of yet. Okay. And then step four.
Step four is take the growth mindset action. This means actually embracing the challenge, persisting through the setback, learning from the criticism instead of retreating. It's really about making a new habit out of that growth response. Action seals the deal.
Okay, so zooming out a bit. If we had to distill this, What are the most powerful takeaways Dweck really wants us to carry into our daily lives?
Well, I think that redefinition of failure we talked about is probably the most liberating one for, you know, the everyday listener. Failure isn't an identity. It's just information. If you try a new project and it doesn't quite work out, the fixed mindset says, see, I'm incompetent. But the growth mindset says, okay, that approach didn't work. I need to try a new strategy and figure out what I missed. It frames failure as this temporary event that gives you crucial feedback.
That's huge. And second, I'd say the dangers of praising innate ability. This is so counterintuitive, especially for parents, teachers, managers. Dweck's research is pretty clear. Praising intelligence, saying you're so smart, actually fosters a fixed mindset. It leads to risk aversion down the line.
So instead of praising just the outcome, like the good grade, we need to praise the process, the effort, the strategies used, the perseverance. When we focus praise on the process, we teach people that their abilities are within their control, that they can be improved through action. It reinforces what they did.
Mm-hmm. And third, I think we have to mention the power of yet again, that tiny three-letter word. It instantly changes the whole frame, saying, I can't do this yet. Reframes challenges. They become opportunities rather than dead ends. It implies mastery is just a matter of time and effort. It opens a pathway.
Absolutely. And Dweck's work is just packed with these really memorable ideas, these phrases that capture the spirit of growth. One that always sits with me is, the view you adopt for yourself profoundly affects the way you lead your life. It's such a stark reminder that your mindset isn't passive. It's an active force, constantly shaping your actions, your decisions, and ultimately, yeah, your destiny.
Yeah, I like that. And another one I think captures the essence is becoming is better than being. It really celebrates that continuous process, you know, developing, improving. It suggests the journey itself is actually more valuable, more fulfilling than just striving for some fixed, perfect state of achievement that might not even exist.
Mm. And maybe one more, just as a direct rebuttal to the fixed mindset. Effort is what ignites ability and turns it into accomplishment. It confirms effort isn't just a fallback for people who lack natural talent. It's the crucial ingredient. It's what activates potential and turns it into real achievement for absolutely everyone.
Okay, so let's get really practical. How do we actually use this knowledge, like starting today? What does it look like in action?
Well, for parenting and education, the immediate shift is definitely in how we praise.
Absolutely. So next time a child gets a good grade, or maybe they succeed at something tricky, resist the urge to just say, you're so smart. Instead, try something like, wow, the time you spent studying and reviewing your notes really paid off. Tell me about the strategies you used. You focus the praise entirely on the controllable process.
And in professional development, this could mean consciously stopping that internal cycle where you avoid difficult projects because, well, you might reveal a weakness. Maybe actively seek out those stretch assignments. It sends this critical signal to your brain that competence isn't something you just prove. It's something you build. It normalizes the struggle that's inherent in learning anything new.
Right. And view feedback differently, too. Not as this painful critique, like a judgment on your basic worth, but see it as a developmental conversation, something focused on future improvement, on learning. It's more like a roadmap for growth, not a final verdict.
Definitely. And even for personal wellness, right? If you struggle to build a new habit, maybe going to the gym consistently or sticking to a budget, use the yet strategy. If you skip a day at the gym, don't just think, I failed. Say, okay, I didn't stick to the plan today yet, but I'll adjust the process and try again tomorrow.
Uh-huh.
It focuses you on building the habit and learning from those inevitable slip-ups rather than seeing them as total fixed failure, which makes you want to give up.
Thinking about the whole book, what really struck me most profoundly is this realization that mindset isn't some fixed personality trait. It's a belief system. And because it's a belief system, it can be consciously changed. That feels hugely empowering. It means our entire response to challenge, to effort, to failure, it's ultimately a conscious choice, one that we repeat over time. It gives us a tangible path to self-improvement.
Yeah, I agree. For me, the most exciting insight, maybe the most liberating one, is the idea that our potential is essentially unknown. We just don't know the limits. The belief in fixed talent, it causes us to self-limit, to plateau way too early. But the growth mindset ensures we keep learning, keep striving, constantly expanding our capacity throughout our entire lives, really, just by embracing challenges as these opportunities for becoming more.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.